to be here to see everyone this morning here. Been challenged so far this morning already on the opening and the children's lesson. Talking about a father and being a father, and also then about making choices, and life is about a lot of choices. So why don't we just pause for a word of prayer, just bow your heads, and we'll pray yet before we start here. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity, the privilege of being here and to be sharing together with your word, Lord, and Lord, to be encouraging each other. And God, I just pray as we fellowship together today here that this can be a blessing and a benefit and upbuilding to each one of us. Just pray for your direction, your guidance now as we go through this message, Lord. I just pray that you would just give me clarity of mind and help that this could be a blessing for each one here, Lord, and that you would just have your will and way. Commit this into your hands, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'd like to speak a little bit about truth. It's something, I guess, I feel is very important in our lives. In our lives is just this word truth. I've titled this Jesus, the Truth. And I think I'm just going to, I've got a couple titles, subtitles here, and I'll just write them down here so we can. Try a different one here. First one was Jesus appearing. The work of truth. I'm struggling a little bit to find the correct wording for that, but basically what truth does for us, and the preciousness of truth. And also, I was going to look at some of the opposite, deception / untruth. Attitude of the wicked toward truth, and also included in that, liars. And then openness. I'd like to talk a little bit about openness / transparency. And the last one, where do we find ourselves? Okay, that looks kind of like a long writing assignment there, I guess, for myself, but we'll. I guess I'd just like to make a case for truth and the value or the worth, the work it does in our lives, what it can do, what it should be in our lives. And I think there's a lot of untruth around us these days, and it can be a challenge sometimes to just know what is right, what is true. And the word truth has some variations in the meaning, and we won't necessarily stay on this exact same. Like to talk about the truth of God's word as the truth of God's word, and also then we'll be into a little bit about in honesty and speaking the truth and some of that. but first of all, I'd just like to read in John 14, the first couple verses there. When I think about this Jesus appearing, how Jesus shows up on the scene here, and obviously he had gotten up in the synagogue and read the scriptures there and said, this day this has been fulfilled, and the impact that this must have made on the people looking. Some people were excited, but probably a lot of them were like, who are you? John 14, the first couple of verses, I'd just like to read those. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he's saying he is the truth. After we talk about 400 years of silence, you know, between the Old and New Testament, and I don't know how silent that all was necessarily, but then all of a sudden Jesus appears and says, he is the truth. So this has to make an impact, and people have to decide what they are going to do with that, and we still have to today, in a sense. And I'm just thankful for the privilege that I've had of growing up, you know, in a setting where I've heard of the plan of salvation, and that's a decision, that's a choice we all have to make today is, you know, are we going to accept the truth that Jesus brought, the plan of salvation? He has the solution for our problems, if we're willing to recognize, you know, that I am a sinner, no matter how good I think I am a sinner. I need this truth of Jesus. I need his salvation because I cannot do anything on my own to cleanse, to take away my sins. And we all find ourselves there, we should at least. And the Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if we're humble and willing to confess our sin, he is faithful, he is just to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I just wanted to bring this out in the beginning here. This is something that we've heard many times. We've heard it repeated over and over. And yet, it's easy to sit in a setting like this and hear this and not really apply it to my own heart, my own life. Just the fact that I have my own will that needs to be broken, needs to bow to, and I need to recognize that I am a sinner. I have come short of the glory of God. And I need his infilling. I need him to cleanse me from my sins. And thinking about Jesus appearing here and him being the truth, there's a couple of references here I'd just like to read off. The one's in John 1, verse 14. It says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I'm amazed at how many times we find truth in just the word truth all through the Bible. All through we find verses like this that refers to someone or something, and truth is just right in there. It just that, and it says that he was full of grace and truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's in John 8. It's these things we've heard many times, but if I just want to draw attention to the fact that, you know, the truth, how powerful and how important truth really is. And then something that stood out to me was in Jesus' prayer in John 17 when Jesus was praying to his Father. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. There's something here that's kind of almost hard for me to understand. It's this thought of sanctifying through his truth. But if we dwell in that, and there is a sanctifying that takes place. And then also I thought of when Jesus was before Pilate. Pilate, wondering what is truth. And Jesus just, if I can get that. I think Pilate asked him if he was a king. And he says, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. I'm not sure if that verse was right there, but that's one that that Jesus said too. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So it's up to us if we want to accept Jesus as the truth that he is talking about. He came and presented himself as the way and the truth. Going on to the second point, I put it down as the work of truth. I wasn't quite sure what good word. Is it evidence? Is it the value? Is it the basically what truth is. And I'd like to read in Ephesians, if we could turn there, Ephesians 6, verse 10 there, talking about the armor of the Christian soldier. And I was blessed by Josh Yoder's lesson on that here about 2 weeks ago. And being able to have this soldier standing here and looking at the different articles that's mentioned in here. But I'm blessed with the thought of truth, the part that truth plays in this. I'm going to read Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And when we look at this, we should have him here again today, I guess, Josh, but we look at this, the belt of truth wasn't really one of the big things you really saw on that soldier that he had standing up here. But when I think of what the having your belt or whatever you have tied around you, it's kind of like something that holds stuff in place. It's there holding things in place. And I guess that's how I think that truth is in a lot of areas. You take that belt of truth away and you've basically lost it. So I guess just thinking about some of these, in our spiritual life, okay, so we have faith, we have things mentioned, we have the helmet of salvation, we have the sword of the Spirit. But if you take truth out of that, what is your faith? what you're believing in is tainted with something that's not true, and it's where's your faith resting on? Do you really have faith? And also, if it messes with your salvation, if you're untrue to the point that your salvation is affected, you know, you lose the helmet of salvation. And I don't know if we even need to talk about the sword of the Spirit. You know, how effective will we be with that? So that's just some things to think about. And when I think about truth as being a very important part of our makeup, our structure, I tend to think of it as a beam. Okay, this building has a beam underneath. I think we've got a drop ceiling and it's hidden down there, but there's a beam here. And joists come in and they rest on the beam in the center. And let's say we would just have I call that the truth that holds things up. If you don't have that solid truth there to hold things up, things just kind of would tend to drop down. There's really nothing there to hold it. And it's just each phrase, it would just become a whatever, a mixed up world if you don't have something solid there to hold it. And I guess let's just imagine there's a beam here and we'll just put the joists in and act like we're setting them on it. And we all know what would happen. They would all just drop to the floor. And so those are some of those thoughts I have about this. The importance of making sure that we are resting on the solid truth of God's Word. And then, of course, we get to think, well, how can I be sure? How do I know? You know, and I had to think of Proverbs. I want to read a couple of verses here in Proverbs. Thinking about that, Proverbs 3, just the first few verses there, I'll just read that, where it talks about not leaning on your own understanding. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And here we find truth mentioned here. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. So this is reminding us again to go after that truth somehow. We need to pursue truth, and it says to bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart, and so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. But it also talks about not leaning on your own understanding. That's something that is tempting for us to do, is to maybe not dig too deep and just kind of haphazardly go along and we just, you know, we just, this is how I see it and that's good enough. And if we do that, we'll probably end up leaning on something that is not totally solid. That's kind of the tendency of humankind to do that. Oh, there's a lot of things here, a lot of verses we could even look to. But my encouragement here is just to make sure that we're leaning on the truth, and the only way to do that is to dig in ourselves and to, if we hear something, you know, let's not just, especially if it's something that's maybe new or questionable or something, let's just, you know, open our Bibles and dig in, and we've got older brothers, we can ask for advice on some of these things too, and let's do that. Let's do that. Let's not go for something that's not not going to support us in the end. And the third point I had here of the preciousness of truth. I think once when we recognize how important it is that we are built, and what our faith is, that it is actually the truth of Jesus Christ. When we recognize how important that is, we will hold it very dear, and if there's deception or things trying to creep in, we will be right there trying to jump right on that to do something about it. Just a few verses here that talk about truth being dear to us. And David, Psalm 119, has several of the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. And that was a challenge to me just to see that, do I value this, the law of God, Jesus appearing, and daily we're struggling to make ends meet, maybe, you know, we have to make a living, but then here it actually compares it to gold and silver. It's better than gold and silver. And what are our decisions based on? Are they based on how much money I can make here? If I work at this job, maybe I'll move here, or I'll do something here that I can, you know, so I can make more money or whatever. And money has its place, but let's be sure we don't compromise. Stay in the center of God's will and in His truth in all of this. And we have to keep things in proper perspective. The money has to stay where it's a useful tool that we can use every day, and it's not something that's ruling over us and driving us and pushing us off course. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. It's in Proverbs. So that's a challenge to me. I was challenged going through some of this stuff just to look at my own life and how important, how much time do I spend, how precious is it to me to meditate in the truths of God's word and to stay there and to make sure that I'm there and to be reaching out to those around me too. Fourth point. This one you could take any direction, talking about deceptions and untruths. And I kind of like to think of things that we're facing today. And this may not be, you know, there's a whole host of things we could bring in here. And I thought of one right off. I don't think anybody here probably sends children to public school, but if you do, then you're going to be teaching evolution theory to your children if you do that, for the most part. And okay, so this is probably not something we're just really struggling with, that we're thinking that we're being deceived by evolution, that the theory of evolution. Probably not, but when we tend to hear things over and over and over, and our children are growing up and stuff gets pumped into people just over and over, and then there's all the dire predictions that are out there right now of climate change and global warming, and I'm not very up to it, I must say. But I'm probably not scared about it, so I think it's, you know, most of it's rooted in unbelief, and so it's trying to, they're trying to push this stuff, and it's rooted in unbelief and all this, and it's almost become a religion of its own. Even though, in all that, I think we're responsible to not abuse our land, to not do some. We can do different types of practices. We can, you know, I've seen deforestation, erosion to the point where it really ruined land. And if we study history, I actually looked at a little bit of in the U.S. out in the Kansas area, the plains there during the 30s, the Dust Bowl era. They came in and they plowed huge tracts of land and stuff that hadn't been done before yet, and they did a lot of it, like in a couple years' time there, and it didn't rain that year, and they had a drought, and the wind came, and they had, I don't know, for those of you that have studied it, you know, you've seen that, and it looked like there were snow drifts, but they were actually drifts of dust, and they actually lost, like, so really has no bearing on this, but the whole idea of that they're talking about climate change, a lot of things have a little bit of a truth in it. If we abuse stuff to the point that this actually has some truth in it, that we need to take care of our land, but it's taken to a whole religion level. And then there's another one I was thinking of that was probably a little closer home this year, is the whole political situation. Just thinking of deception and untruths. For us as a church, the Bride of Christ, Jesus, the whole political situation, Jesus said that, you know, my kingdom is not of this world, and so we're not going to fight. And we heard quite a bit of this year, that, okay, it's off so far, and it's going this direction. We still have a chance, you know, let's all jump in and participate. Let's become a part of this political thing so we can steer in the right direction. Okay, so maybe that didn't bother us too much either. But it was still there, and it did affect some of the people in this community. But those are some things that are a little more out there. And I was going to try to bring it a little closer to home here, too. One thought I had was just, what do I think of myself? If I think of myself as a pretty high and powerful and having it all together and just got it, we better watch out, because we're on the way to deceiving our own selves if we think that way. And there's one that I thought of that deceiving myself if believing just the whole. It's easier to think that I am okay sometimes in what I'm doing than actually humbling myself and recognizing that that I am living in sin. And sometimes I think we deceive ourselves in thinking that my sins are forgiven. I might even confess, but I keep on living in it. And I might confess again, but keep on living in it. And I think unless we're willing to crucify that one and find victory over it, I think we're deceiving ourselves in that. So that's just a challenge for, it's just the whole thing that sin separates from God, and God is a pure and holy God, and He wants us to be a holy bride. And it's just the natural tendency of man, I think, to think for myself, you know, I can get into stuff that I would have never thought that I would do. But we tend to think, well, if I, you know, we maybe not even consciously think of it, but we drift into something and we do it, even though it might be wrong, but once you're doing it long enough, well, it can't be that wrong. I'm actually doing it, so it can't be that wrong, you know, and just, and that's why it's back to the Bible. It's, that's where we need to go. It's for, that's our measuring point, and it can't be off of anything else. 1 John 2, verse 4 says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Is our faith still true if we have untruth mixed in? I'd like to read a couple verses in Isaiah 59. Going on to the next one. So a few thoughts on the attitude of the wicked toward truth. And I also just put liars in with this, even though it's maybe two separate categories here a little bit. But just a small point here. Isaiah 59, verse 1, reading the first four verses here. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. I don't know if any of you have ever seen any of these that are mentioned in verse 4. Have we seen any of this going on around us? I think this world is quite full of this. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. There's a verse in Jeremiah 9:5. It says, they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. I trust we're not anywhere close to this, but I just wanted to bring this in here, just that there are people that actually do live this way, it's wickedness before God that we they are against truth. They don't want to hear truth. They don't want to hear anything that's true. They would rather just live life however it happens, and they draw other people into that, and so we need to be careful with that. And also thinking about liars, lying. There's many places that it's mentioned just that lying is not something that is permitted. It's against. There's a verse in. I should just turn to that. Revelation 21. Let's find that here. It mentions Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there's others. Psalm 63, verse 11, the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Proverbs 19, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Um, move on to thinking about this whole thing of truth and how does this affect us in the brotherhood. I think we can use openness, transparency, and all of this. I think that being truthful does not leave space for hidden things in our lives. When I say hidden things, I'm not necessarily even talking about sins or anything. I think we should live with an openness that we don't just hide whatever. We don't act like, well, this is not your business. You just keep your nose out of my affairs. But I think when we're living based on the truth and we should just have an openness among us, and it doesn't mean busybody, that we need to be busybodies, but that we shouldn't be trying to hide things from each other and just living our own lives separately. But there's an openness that should be going on. One verse that I think pertains to that is 2 Corinthians 4, the first couple of verses there. It says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." I guess I was struck by the fact that this phrase, the manifestation of the truth, being in here, right in with renouncing hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. A challenge. "The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." I think we have nothing to hide when we are truthful and we are living by His truth. So just thinking about this whole thing. Where do we find ourselves? Where do we find ourselves in this? Where do we get our information? We're probably the most informed generation that ever lived right now. I'm not sure if we know more than our grandfathers did. But as far as being able to find information, it's two clicks of the buttons and you have information. But I just had to think of these days, a lot of people get most of their information from their peers via social media and don't have time to go anywhere else hardly but that. And it's just a challenge. I hope we don't get into that, but it can really affect what we think, how we think about things. I just challenge you to make sure that that's not where you're getting your information, is from your peers around you. Or when I say information, getting, it's okay to communicate to an extent, but as far as what we believe and how we think, it's the Word of God. Another one that I thought of here is, do we receive our truth filtered through the mind of some teacher or an author, or do we go to the Book of Books and become grounded in truth? Do we receive our truth filtered through some teacher or some author, or do we go to the Bible and and become grounded in the truth. What about this one? What do we do with truth that's uncomfortable to us? We don't like uncomfortable stuff. I know that. I don't either. But what do we do with truth that's uncomfortable to us? It's where humility comes in. And David, when he after his sin with Bathsheba there, he in Psalm 51, he said, Thou desirest the truth in the inward. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, through and through, truth everywhere. He recognized that right after he had sinned, that God wants truth. Are we hearing the truth of Jesus? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by him. So, it was a blessing to me to look into this, and I've been challenged by it, and I just want to praise God for his truth and what he's done. May the Lord bless you.